Wow. Thank you, praise team. Amen. Wow. Salvation Mountain, man. That's where we're headed, if you believe, if you accepted Jesus. And if, as born-again believers, as Christ followers, we have a lot in us that God has given to us the moment we believed in Him. It's awesome. I'm Pastor Doug Moore. I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Faith Fellowship. So glad you're with us this morning. Thank you for coming. Today, we are beginning our new series called Unlock. Unlocking gifts God has placed in us and in your life. This morning, I want to talk to you about something that will completely change the way you live your born-again Christian life if you truly understand it. And if you're not born again, if you still are mulling the situation, and as we've come through the series, we just completed doubt, you're still working through some questions, I want to talk to you this morning about what is laying ahead for you if you make that decision. Because what we haven't heard from religion is the truth of the word that tells us what happens in us when we become born again. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's a power that we haven't unlocked. And today we're just going to do an overview of what we're going to be talking about the next few weeks. And it's going to be talking, we're simply going to be talking about the power of God that's in you. Because many believers today are living with a contradiction. They believe in Jesus, they believe they're saved, but at the same time, they still identify with their past, their failures, their struggles. Just like we heard the song just now, don't look behind, looking forward. They say things like, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, which is true. It's true. We were saved by grace, those of us who believed and accepted Jesus. Or other people have said, well, I'm just me. I'll never change. That's just the way I am, you know. It's like, hey, man, I get drunk and I beat up people because I'm Irish. As a Scotch-Irishman, I can say that. And I want to say to somebody who says that, no, you're just a jerk. There are things that we can try to blame the past on, that we live in the present in, but sometimes, as human beings, let alone born-again believers, we can't just stay in the same rut and be the same person after we've experienced who Jesus really is by grace. Grace changes us, man. I'm telling you, it changed me. I'm dangerous. Listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anybody here a Christ follower? Okay. All right. Now, you and I, we're all that. Okay. Now, we have a responsibility to show how fun it is, how good it is, good times and bad, so people who aren't Christ followers say, I want that. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, that's us. Woohoo! He is, and she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I don't feel like it. I still came home to the same trouble. I walked out them doors with the same pain. And I don't feel any different. Look, that scripture is not just symbolic language. That is spiritual reality that you and I have to renew our mind to and understand that the Word of God, the Bible, is the only truth there is. It's the only truth we know. It's what gauges what truth is in this world. The world does not filter through the Bible. The Bible dictates to the world what truth is. Follow it and you'll be better off. So today we're going to look at what that means and how it changes everything in your life, being a new creation. First of all, your old self is gone. That's good. You know, you'd like to say, yeah, man, my old self, that'd be awesome. I'd like to lose a few pounds. Yeah, I know. Let's start with Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified. That sounds gory and terrible, but that's how Paul put it to the church in Galatia. He said, look, I want you to understand something. The old Saul you used to know is gone. The same guy that Pastor talked to us about a few weeks ago who went about persecuting the church, putting to death believers. Saul had this transformation with Jesus and became Paul, changed his whole life, inside, outside, spirit, soul, and body. And he said, I want y'all to know something. I had a face-to-face with Jesus, and I want you to understand I'm not the guy I used to be. I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He brought me back to life. One scripture translation says, it's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. It's translated, it's simply Jesus using my body. That's heavy, man. When you understand what salvation has done, it doesn't just put you in a club. It doesn't just make you where you're like, oh, I'm religious now. Religion and God have nothing to do with each other. Get that through your head. Religion was created by man. God created love, power, peace, and soundness of mind. Notice Paul doesn't say, I'm improving, or I'm getting better. He says, I have been crucified, done, dead, buried. The old me is gone. Romans 6:6 says, our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with. Romans 6:11 says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto Christ. Look, when you accept who Jesus is, you're not working on getting over sin. The moment you believe, you accept that Jesus took the sin that you had even before you were born and put it upon himself on the cross and finished that work on the cross for you and I, that sin is no longer an issue for Christ followers who walk and live after who he is. It sets you free, man. It sets you free when you understand what grace has done. Here's what this means. God didn't try to fix your old self. He didn't try to clean it up or reform it. He put it to death. He's like, I don't ever want this thing to come back again. Your old identity, the one that was defined by sin, failure, separation from God, that person was crucified and is gone. Colossians 3:3 says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. No longer you living out your life, but you trusting, believing in who he is, and he lives through you, giving you abilities that you and I cannot come up with on our own. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now here's where a lot of believers really, like Christ followers, they struggle with this. Okay? Because they say, well, that just doesn't feel true. That my life is hidden in God and that my old life has passed away. I still have issues. I still think these things. I still want to do these things. And it's like, yeah, I know. Paul was there too in Romans 7. Romans 7, Paul was talking about how I want to do good, but I still do bad. How I want to continue to be better, but I do worse. The problem is religion and some parts of the body keep you in that mindset where it's like, well, that's just the way it is. They just stop living at Romans 7. But we forget that there's a Romans 8:1 that says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have been set free from that. Yes, we struggle to try to do what's right. But because of Jesus, he does not condemn us any longer. It's done. It's settled. Jesus took upon himself every condemnation, every guilt, every shame, everything that you and I have put upon ourselves in this world. When we believe in what he did for us, then we can start living what he's done for us. But listen carefully. Your identity is not based on your feelings. It's based on what God says. The Bible says in Romans 6:11, you are dead to sin. That's what it says. It says in Romans 6:14, sin is no longer a master to you. That's what it says. So when you say, well, this is just who I am, you're actually agreeing with your past instead of agreeing with God and what he's provided for you in the future. So we have to make a shift. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this series in the next couple weeks, is making a shift in our mindset, in our thinking. So we have to make that shift. We have to stop saying, that's just how I am. Like me or not. And start saying, that's who I was. That's not who I am anymore. We have to confront our problems, confront our issues that always are with us, guys. And when they keep trying to come into our mindset, throw them out and say, nope, I've been delivered. Jesus took care of this. You don't belong here. Get out. Secondly, you're a new creation. Now, if the old is gone, the question is, who are you now? Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, remember it says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Not partially new. Not gradually becoming new. Completely and totally changed. A new creation. That means something has fundamentally changed at your core. Something has completely been rearranged and brought about to a new attitude and new direction in your life. Colossians 1:27 says this, for you died. Oh, Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. The hope of glory. Christ in you, not your abilities, not what you do. Oh, I've got to do good, otherwise, you know, Christ won't stay in me. I've got to do these things, otherwise Christ won't be happy with me, and Jesus won't live in me, and I won't have success and all that stuff. No, man, Christ in you, period. Him coming into your life, you accepting him as he is, him doing the work for you is your hope. That's all you need. Our hope is in him. Amen, man. It's all about what he's done. Being a Christ follower is not just about believing in Christ. It's about Christ living in you, producing good works through you. We don't do good works to get more of Jesus. We've received him, and good works just come out of who he is in us. The produce is who he is in us, and we produce those good works to benefit others. Doesn't matter to God how good you are. It just matters to you that you believe in him and allow him to produce that goodness through you so that people can see how good he is in you. Simple. We make it so hard. I think when we get to heaven, when preachers get to heaven, whoever, you know, handful of us get to heaven. No, I'm just kidding. I think Jesus is going to say, hey, guys, come over here. Gals, girls, guys, come here. Why did you make it so hard? It's easy to be a Christ follower. It's believing in him and what he's done. It takes all the pressure off you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, you have been made the righteousness of God in him. Now, how many, don't raise your hand. And don't you look at anybody next to you or peripherally. How many of y'all feel righteous this morning? I dare you to raise your hand. I don't. And here I am, preaching the gospel. Now, does that mean I've just went out and sinned a whole bunch of stuff and just come up here? No, but I don't feel in my mind righteous because I have studied, I have been up, I have been looking for a house. I'm still trying to find a house to live in. Keep praying for us. I work outside these walls. I do, and it's like sometimes I don't feel righteous, but that doesn't change the truth of that he has made me the righteousness of God in him. Not my outward. No, like Pastor said, man, stick around for a few minutes. You'll see me fail. Don't worry. Okay, it'll happen. You don't put your trust in people. You don't put your trust in religion. You don't put your trust in a doctrine. You don't put your trust in a theology. You put your trust in the Word of God, which is the only truth there is, and in the Holy Spirit that he comes and abides in you in and with, so that you know all things the Word says. You know the truth. And what does the truth do? It sets us
free.
Oh, man. Paul even said, free indeed, baby. Yeah. You are righteous in Christ. Without him, you're not. If you try to do righteousness by your own self, Paul called them filthy rags. Filthy righteous rags is what our own righteousness is. Oh, I do good. I give this. I give that. I do this. I do that. Doesn't make you righteous at all. Makes you feel good. Makes you maybe help somebody out. That's cool. But it doesn't bring righteousness into your life. The only way righteousness comes in is it comes in with Jesus when you believe in him. It's not something you work towards. It's not something you work for. Jesus comes into your life the moment you believe in who he is and what he's done, and he makes you in your spirit, man, the righteousness of God in him. And you don't ask for it. We don't deserve it, but he does it. Look at it in the reciprocal point, all right? We don't deserve the goodness of God. We don't deserve it before we are born again, but we have it. You know, I have aches and pains. I didn't deserve that, but I got them. I didn't ask for them. That's the good, that's the bad point. The flip side of that, the reciprocal of that, is I didn't ask for the goodness, the mercy, the riches, the grace, the power, the authority, the righteousness of God when I accepted Jesus. I didn't know about all that stuff, but I got it all with him. If you bought a car, especially an electrical one, you don't know what half the things the thing does. I mean, it's all new stuff. You don't know. And it's like, and you discover new stuff all the time. Oh, look at that. Oh, wow. That's how the window goes down. I don't know. But it's like, oh, I didn't know. But that came with it. You didn't know it. You didn't put those things and other things in your life as well. Like you discovered something. Oh, I didn't know that computer could do that. I didn't know that system could do that. I didn't. And it, but it came with it. It wasn't just all right. You didn't discover it and boom, it happened. It came with it. You just didn't have a knowledge of it. And now that your mind's renewed to it, now you know how to operate in it and do it and enjoy it. That's what it happened. That's what happens to us as born-again believers. As we are Christ followers, we experience the goodness of God when he comes into our life in Christ. We are born again. We become Christ followers. We make that decision. But as we go along in life, we start reading the Word and renewing our mind to what God has brought to us in Christ in our lives that we had all the time. I like how one guy put it. He said, as a born-again believer, if you've already got it, why are you still trying to get it? We don't know what we have in him. We don't know the authority that God has given to us, the power, the anointings, the goodness, the gifts. We have to unlock them. Colossians 2:10 says, you are complete in him. That means nothing's missing. Again, we're talking about in the spirit. In the natural, the way you think, in the things that you do physically, we're going to fail. We fail miserably. We're, you know, now God helps us to complete things physically and emotionally. He gets us from point A to point B. But we're not talking about being perfect on the outside. We're not talking about being perfect in your mental mindset. We're talking about the perfection of what happens to us in our spirit the moment we become born again. Your spirit is renewed. Your spirit is born from death to life. You are new in Christ Jesus. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. There is a shalom of God in your heart and in your spirit, man, that nothing is missing from you because of who God is and who Jesus is in your life. When we come to that realization, we know the devil cannot and will never win. So your identity is now righteous accepted and complete, according to the Word. And here's the key. You don't live for Christ, you live from Christ. He is our life. He's given us life. Our life and His life are intermingled, and together we have been grafted into that vine. And now what we do is we live in Him, by Him, and He lives through us. And then thirdly, what we're going to be covering here over this next few weeks on Unlocked is we have to know how to live from your identity. We're going to talk about identity and who you are after you've made a decision to follow Christ, or if you have followed Christ for a very long time. We're going to know exactly what our identity is. Now, this is where everything begins to change practically, okay? Because your behavior, my behavior, flows from what we believe about ourselves. Our behavior comes about in what we believe about ourselves. Whether someone told you you could do something or couldn't do something, whether someone told you you were great or weren't great, that really hangs heavy on us. It does. Especially growing up, if someone is telling you that you're great, well, you're going to have that mindset of, okay, and or you're a hard worker. I have grandkids. Yes, believe it or not, I do. And they said, I'll tell my grandkids, because I'm G-Daddy. And G-Daddy can just, be G-Daddy. And I tell my grandkids, I'm like, you're great, you're awesome. And my kids will say, Dad, that's great. I know you think they're great, but I'd rather you tell them, you are such a hard worker. And I'm like, well, why do you want to tell them? Because that gives them the ability to know that here they are now, but they have room to grow. I'm like, oh, that's pretty smart. You must be from your mother's side. So whatever we think of ourselves is how we act in public, or even how we act in private, how we act in society. We have to live out the identity the way God sees us. When we start seeing ourselves the way God sees us, whoo, it changes everything. Do you know that you're the apple of His eye? Do you know that He loves you more than life? That He gave Himself up for His life for you? Individually for you? That his love for you cannot be described by a book this thick with a bunch of 66 books in it. In fact, the writers say, I can't go into how much God loves us. His love is unattainably in our mind, but imagine in our spirit, man, we've received all of Him. It's a beautiful thing. And we're going to talk a little bit about that too. What is the difference between our soul realm and our body and our spirit, which is our eternal person, what changes. You know, when you got born again, when you accepted Jesus, you didn't come forward, or wherever you got born again at, whether in your car, your bathtub, wherever else, I don't want to know where. And you came to that realization, and my goodness, you had nice, dark hair, and then when you got born again, whoo, you had muscles, and you had blonde hair, and no, what changed? Not this, not your earth suit. Spirit man changed. Your spirit man, which is eternal. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is what's eternal inside of us, and that's what changes, and we need to start living from the inside out. And if we know our identity, it'll change your life, it'll change your family, it'll change this church. Not that this church needs changing. I love it! Yeah! I'm telling you, I'm so thankful that you guys, again, built this church for us. Thank you very much. My kids are safe here. I'm safe here. My wife is safe here. We love this place. But imagine when all of us get into a place of knowledge of who we are in Christ. I'm telling you, people will come not because of what we got, but because of who He is. And then He'll provide what we got. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So this is where it begins to change everything in your life, because your behavior flows from what you believe about yourself. In Proverbs 23:7, it says this: a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you believe, I'm broken, I'm still weak, I'm still just a sinner, your life is going to reflect that in some way, shape, or form. Your life will reflect what you believe. But if you believe what God says about you, your life will begin to change. Romans 12:2 says this. All of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 are awesome, and I'd give you homework to read 1 and 2 and just immerse yourself in it. But I want to focus on this part of chapter 12, verse 2. Be transformed. Anybody here ever watch Transformers as a kid? Yeah. How about Transformers as a movie nowadays, right? You've seen the Transformers, right? They transform from cars to robots, right? And as you transform by the renewing of your mind, what's always been interesting to me is that the Transformers transform into something bigger and better, right? And if you watch the Transformers, I can't believe I'm even talking about this. It's not in my notes. If you think about the Transformers, who are the Transformers' enemy? The Decepticons. And the enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy and deceive us. He's our Decepticon. The enemy tries to deceive us. He's our major Decepticon. What do we have to do to defeat him? Transform, baby. Know who we are from the inside out. Notice, transformation doesn't come by trying harder. Oh, I gotta go to church more. I gotta give more money. I've gotta be sure that I'm nice to someone. Look, it comes from thinking differently first, and then the rest of that stuff comes spiritually, naturally. When you understand who you are in Christ, you can't help but give. You can't help but be that produce of love, power, and a soundness of mind. Ephesians 4:24 says this: put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Your righteousness, my righteousness. Your holiness, my holiness. Has nothing to do with God's righteousness and God's holiness. When I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, He comes into my life and He makes me righteous in my spirit man. He gives me His holiness because I don't have any of my own, and neither do you. And so we depend upon Him for His righteousness to fill us, His holiness to fill us, and His peace of mind to transform our mind, because we believe the Word and not what we see. Because the things that we see, the Bible says, are temporal. That means they are subject to change. That means that the new you is already created. You're not becoming it. You're not striving to be it. You're learning to walk in that, in who you are in Him. You're learning to walk in it. So, instead of saying, I'm struggling with sin, say, that's not my nature anymore. And sometimes you have to say it out loud. If you're being tempted and it feels like it's out loud, you need to respond to it out loud. Jesus spoke to mountains and trees. And sometimes those things that come to us feel just as real, those temptations, and you need to say, you know what? I don't act that way anymore. I don't do those things anymore. Christ in me makes me more powerful than those things. Instead of saying I'm weak, say Christ is my strength. Galatians 2:20 says this: it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. He does the living in you and through you, and if you let Him, for you.
And finally, just renew our mind. We got to renew our minds. Now, here's the key to making this real in your life. We got to renew our mind because your spirit is already new, but your thinking may still be kind of old. I've been there, done that. Romans 12:2 says, remember, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? The word and praise and worship. I can't think of a better place to come to hear both and do both than right here. To renew your mind by the word and by praise and worship. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you
free.
Yeah. You just woke up your neighbor. So freedom comes when you agree with God and what God says about you. And we're going to learn what God says about us and what God thinks about us. Not what you feel, not what your past says, and not what other people say either. Well, you don't look saved. I didn't ask you. We don't go by the opinions of people or by somebody else's experience. Well, it's been my experience that if you have a twinge on your elbow, they'll need to amputate. No, we don't go by that. We don't go, but well, that's what they did to my Uncle Herkimer. I don't care what they did to Uncle Herkimer. As a born-again believer, are you ready for this, man? This is all good. If Uncle Herkimer was a horse thief, it doesn't mean I have to be a horse thief. My past has been forgiven and forgotten by God, and He's given me a new lease on life in the future. He's provided for me freedom from my past, and He's given me light to the future because He is good. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought into captivity. Take captive your thoughts that are not part of who God is in you. Every promise of God is yes and amen. And all the promises of God are His that are good are for us. And every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. In Him there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, the Bible says. Every good and perfect gift. If it's not good and not perfect, don't take it. And you just say that. You just renew your mind to the truth of that. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is that. That's natural bunk. What you have to do is put your faith and truth in the Word of God and think of what God says, which is by the Word, the only truth there is, the only truth you and I know. And when you're basing your thoughts and your thinking on the Word of God, it's not just positive thinking. It's about who God thinks you are and what He's given you the power to operate in. That means when a thought comes, say, that says to you, like, you're not good enough, you reject it. And you replace it with, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. When a thought comes that says, you'll never change, you replace it with, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. So let me leave you with this. You are not your past. You are not your failure. You are not your struggles. They do not define you as a Christ follower. You are a new creation in Christ. You are the righteousness in Christ. You are filled with His life. So stop identifying with sin, weakness, and failure. I don't know what I can do anymore. You know, we're all like Mr. Snuffleupagus sometimes, man. Okay. Sorry, Big Bird. That's what you clap at. Okay. We have Sesame Street brings you alive. All right. No, I mean, and that's, but you've seen Christians like that? You measure their sanctification by the droop of their frown, you know?
I'm saved.
What, really? I don't want that, man. I can get that with a really bad dinner. No, I don't want that. I want something that, well, like it says in, you know, what is it? The Bible says that when we have Christ in us, that hope of glory, that we have the righteousness of God. We have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Paul said that. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to bring out of us and in us. So stop identifying with sin and start identifying with Christ in you. Because when you truly believe who you are, you begin to live like it. It's awesome. So, you're going to help me preach here, okay? Not the time that I had you do this, this, and this. We messed that up big time. Okay? I didn't explain it very well, and well, maybe one day we'll revisit it in 10 years or whatever if you want me still here. So, but I want you to think about this seriously. I want you to start confessing who you are. I do it every day. I need to do it more, but I do it every day. So say this with me or after me. You're good at this. And mean it, because you're speaking on the authority of the Word. Not Pastor Doug, not Pastor Damon, not Faith Fellowship. You're speaking on the authority of the Word. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. Christ lives in me. I am righteous. I am accepted. I am complete in Him. I am who God says I am. And I'm telling you what, we're going to find this out this week. It'll set you free, and you'll have authority, and you'll have scriptures, and your guns, and those bullets will come out flying when the enemy tries to tell you what to do. You don't worry about that. The Word of God is the truth, is your ammunition. And when you speak the truth, the enemy flees in a whole bunch of different ways. Amen? Hallelujah. Give God a clap. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to have prayer teams up here this morning. And I sent emails out to my prayer team. They bounced back to me. So Jeannie and I will be up here. And I know the Jenkins are supposed to be here too. I don't know if they got the emails. It's crazy. You know, me and technology, you know, pray. Anyway, but it's like, if you have a need this morning, I want you to come forward here and we'll pray with you. We'll believe with you. If you say, well, I don't really have time. The meat's going to burn. I got to go. It's okay. I get it. All right. But go out here really knowing and understanding God has something in store for you, and He's done so much good for you already. Just accept it and walk in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, You're so good. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for providing for us everything we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship before we go this morning. Amen.